How did the Hobbit ruin the boxing match? He tried to destroy the ring. Welcome.
Oh.
To... Took you a second, eh? Welcome to Geekly News Desk for the week of July 31st, 2014. I'm Simon Etwell, and I'm, as always, joined by...
And Dupa.
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 Shauna Paul. Andrew Dupa.
Stunna Paul. Stunna Gustavin.
Yeah, that joke took you a second, did it?
It did. It was kind of sad, but I'm pretty slow today.
There were better ones, but they didn't work without actually seeing the spelling. They were like written jokes, and I go, I can't really use those, because it doesn't make sense when I say it.
And then there's the ones that you say it, but then they don't work when you spell it.
Yeah.
Jokes are frustrating.
Jokes, man. Jokes. This is the Hobbit thing was about the third or fourth thing I tried to find a decent joke for today. So I spent a long time looking for jokes. They were miserable. Anyway, we got a pretty decent list today.
Pretty decent.
So, you know, we'll be average. And before we really get into our, you know, sections, I didn't know where to stick this, and it's kind of overarching and somewhat talks about all of the sections. Over the weekend, on, what day was it that they actually sent it? On Friday, July 25th, Salt Lake City Comic Con, the organizers of Salt Lake City Comic Con, received a cease and desist order from the San Diego Comic Con. So San Diego Comic-Con International, which is the company that puts on San Diego Comic-Con and WonderCon and something else I've never heard of. This led me to discover that SDCC has pretty much nothing to do with any other Comic-Con in the world, which is an interesting fact that I did not know. It also led me to discover that you cannot trademark the term Comic-Con, so this cease and desist is absolutely useless, and I don't understand why they would send it. And why they would specifically send it to Salt Lake, like just the Salt Lake Comic Con, not New York, not Emerald City, Toronto, Niagara Falls, any other city that has a Comic Con? Because I'm sure there's more.
Because legal teams are stupid, especially in the U.S. These are things that I've learned over my years of reading news.
Yeah, they do over sue things. Over legalese things.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. I mean, they tried... In 1995, San Diego Comic-Con tried to trademark Comic-Con and got shut down. They're like, no, you can't trademark the term Comic-Con or Comic Convention, because it's short for Comic Convention, so you cannot trademark those two words in that order because it's not specific enough. And last year, in 2013, Denver Comic Con received a trademark for Denver Comic Con, and precedence was set that you could not just trademark Comic Con. Nobody can own Comic Con. But if you throw your city on in front of it, then it becomes specific enough to trademark, apparently. Which, you know, makes sense.
If they didn't trademark the SDCC, we should start San Diego Comic Con up here.
just you know, in some random city.
Yeah.
A city with a name as different from San Diego as we could get.
Yeah, like Cambridge.
Actually, we probably could do it up here, because technically speaking, trademarks don't. Unless they registered their trademark also with... the Canadian Patent Agency, trademarks don't matter. U.S. trademarks don't really matter if you just registered it with the U.S. Patent Office, I believe.
I don't know.
I think that's how it works. I don't run a business or own any trademarks, so I could be totally wrong.
And I'm sure it doesn't matter. They'll probably sue us if they want anyway. Even if they don't have it registered, they'll be like, dude, what the hell? And they'll sue us. And we'll be like, well, we can't afford this, and then we'd go bankrupt, and then...
Honestly, if it was a frivolous lawsuit that was quite easy to overturn, you could actually get money out of it, but it's not worth the risk.
Yeah.
Or the stupidity.
Or the money.
You don't need to spend any money.
You spent lots of money.
No, I didn't need to spend any money. I represent myself, F lawyers. Anyway, I just thought that was a really funny thing, and I like how I wrote it in the notes. Do you like how I wrote it in the notes, Andrew? In nice and bold letters there?
Yeah, it was very bold.
Lots of letters.
It was a bold move.
SDCC gives SLCC a CND.
Yeah.
It's a lot of letters.
I totally knew what you're talking about when you... No, I didn't.
A lot of alphabetism.
Alphabetism? Were we talking about alphabetisms?
I think on Saturday when we were coming home from J&J's, acronyms and alphabetisms.
Okay, it's not relevant.
NASA, NATO. Yeah, I don't remember why, but no.
NORAD, et cetera.
Anyway. actually, I want to bring up, we decided CD-ROM was both.
Yeah, both an alphabetism and an acronym.
Yeah, because ROM is an acronym and CD is an alphabetism. It's weird. Anyway.
What's happening? I don't know.
Let's move into our actual sections now. I just thought that was a poor piece of news that needed to be said because it was weird and stupid.
And interesting.
Interesting and frivolous. So, yay! Anyway, let's move into movies, shall we?
Yeah.
So, Marvel had a panel in Hall H on Saturday at...
Did they? Yes, didn't hear anything about it.
I'm sure you didn't. It was a small to-do. You know, Hall H, nothing really big happens in Hall H. It's no big deal. They talked about and showed some sort of footage from Ant-Man. Even though filming of Ant-Man hasn't officially started yet, but since they've been screwing around with it hardcore, they really did need to show something. Otherwise, everybody'd be like me and just thinking, man, this movie's just going to bomb because they keep fucking with it. But they did, as well as show some footage, they did also reveal two more actors because they were there at the panel. Corey Stahl, who people who enjoy Netflix will recognize from House of Cards. I didn't really recognize him.
Amazing.
Will be playing Yellow Jacket. He is the villain. He is an often villain of Ant-Man. You know, Ant, Yellow Jacket. Yellow Jacket's a bee. You know, bugs. Insects, man. And Evangeline Lilly, you know, Hobbit and Lost and everything else. She's in a lot of things, and she's Canadian, which gives her a bonus. She will be playing Hope Van Dyne. I'm just never sure how to pronounce their last name. Which is Hank Pym's daughter. Hank Pym being the one who, for those who don't know, invented the Ant-Man technology.
Ant-Man!
So I guess this Hank Pym was also married to / involved with Janet Van Dyne, who is Wasp, I think. Yeah, she's Wasp in the comics, usually.
She also...
was original Avenger. Also what?
In addition to the people announced that are going to be in Ant-Man, it was announced that someone isn't going to be in Ant-Man anymore. Patrick Wilson... apparently isn't needed to be in Ant-Man anymore.
I don't remember who that was.
It just says that his character isn't written into it. Patrick Wilson's the guy from The Conjuring and that other movie that's like The Conjuring. Insidious, yeah.
Never watched it.
Well, he's like the main dude in both of them, so if you know those movies, you know the dude.
Patrick Wilson, Conjuring, Insidious, Hard Candy, Watchmen, Conjuring 2.
Oh yeah, Watchmen. He was the dude.
What year was Watchmen? 2009. I'm on IMDb. I'll look it up. He was Night Owl.
Yeah, Night Owl, with the goggles, and the owl ship.
Yeah, the owl ship was awesome. Loves the owl ship. It's one of my favorite ships.
That's
not good. Anyway, sorry, there.
Bunch of comings and goings with this movie.
The best part is, like, when they brought Evangeline Lilly up, and I guess she couldn't really talk about her character, she said, because she hadn't even seen a script. And I was like, wow, that's... Why would you sign on to a movie without at least seeing a script?
Because it's got Marvel attached to it.
That's what I figured, but I mean, this is the movie that people are like, this is going to be the one. Nobody bats a thousand, this is going to be the one.
But still Marvel.
Yeah.
This could be the biggest dump of a movie from Marvel, but it's still a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's going to make money, but it's going to hurt their next one, if it's bad. Which is how movies work.
Yeah.
Your next movie, no matter how good it is, makes money based on how good the last movie was. Always. But yeah, no, it's just a big move. You didn't even see like a draft of the script. You're just like, Ant-Man, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, that's all I got for Ant-Man. I'm going to move on to the next thing that's still in Marvel. Do you have something else to say?
That's it.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, it's coming out tomorrow here in the States and in Canada, in North America, I guess, because we're always put up as...
I mean, with excitement.
We never get our own thing. We'll very rarely get our own release date on the internet. It usually only says U.S., and that upsets me. But anyway, well, Guardians of the Galaxy is already getting a sequel. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will release in 2017, July 28th, 2017. Even though, I mean, this was announced, I don't know, last week. It was announced, I think, on Saturday at Marvel's panel. So, like, a day maybe after one of the grand premieres somewhere, but still almost a week before it opens to the public in most areas of the world.
Yay.
So, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Just throwing out sequels like nobody's business. And already having a release date for it. That's weird to me. Like, announcing you're going to do a movie and then announcing the release date for it, like, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's strange.
You know it's going to get delayed.
Ah, wow. Of course it is. Every movie gets delayed. It's movies. Oh, I have to move things around in the notes. This needs to be on the bottom.
You know, speaking of release dates, I'm listening to an audiobook called Console Wars.
Yep, okay, heard about it. You got that recommendation from Gajabrin.
I did, in fact.
Is that the way I heard about it?
Yeah, it's about the war between Sega and Nintendo.
Yeah.
That good old war that I remember so fondly. And back then, video games didn't have release dates.
Mm-hmm.
They just were released whenever they got into stores. And
you know what? That
helped. Sonic 2 was one of the first games that had an actual release date that was worldwide.
That reminds me of something that was annoying me on the internet these past couple of days. Apparently it's become a big thing, a big deal about pre-ordering, at least on Steam. But, you know, don't pre-order, because apparently pre-ordering makes bad games. I was like, no, I don't understand that thought process, like how pre-ordering from a company is going to make the game bad, or their subsequent games bad. Don't really get it.
Maybe early access?
But
I think early access is kind of a thing that's
I get that people can hate that. Sometimes because they're not prepared for what early access means, and sometimes because it just makes the developer lazy for a little while. You think, okay, they've got that for now, they'll leave me alone.
But if you're pre-ordering it, it's so far ahead or so far along in its development cycle, it's not going to affect anything other than sales.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I don't understand the hate, the don't pre-order. And apparently it's especially against Ubisoft, because, well, everything in video games right now is especially against Ubisoft.
Unless it's EA.
I don't get it. I just don't understand it. It was annoying me. People are stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, that reminded me of, because I think it might, what it really is, it's the release dates and the schedule and how, you know, you set this schedule, most companies just like, okay, this is when you release the game. No matter what, this is not changing. Game's going to be out this day, so you better have it done.
Yeah.
And so that causes people to go cut corners when they can, because they have to. Because, you know, most companies aren't Blizzard, who will push back a game 5 times. And even when they do that, they still have problems sometimes, so.
Dragon Age got pushed back.
It's interesting, actually.
Dragon Age Inquisition got pushed back a whole month.
Oh, but didn't it get, didn't another game get pushed up to replace it?
Ah, yeah. It wasn't anything good, I don't think. Oh, Shadow of Mordor, yeah.
Right, yeah, no, yeah, right. We talked about this last Friday or something.
Yeah, got pushed up an extra 5 days or whatever.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Middle-Earth.
Which is probably awesome for them, because I don't know how they were going to compete with Dragon Age.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to buy Shadow of Mordor, but, like, later. But now that I got nothing to fill that month with, I'm just going to get Shadow of Mordor.
What are you talking about? You'll still have Smash Brothers at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know when that actually comes out for the 3DS, but sometime.
October. I think. Or did it get delayed?
Who knows? Anyway, I don't remember how we even got on that.
Release dates.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the notes. Next. So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, 2017. That'll be exciting. Staying in movies, switching from Marvel to DC. On Friday, I believe, the internet got its first look at Gal Gadot in the Wonder Woman costume.
You mean the Xena costume?
From Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. That's a terrible name. I still don't like that name. You do get. I know lots of people are saying it looks too much like Xena, but I'm like, you guys do realize that every Wonder Woman costume has been the same style as Xena. It's just the colors.
Yeah, it's just this one looks the most like Xena.
No, it doesn't look anything like Xena's costume at all. Like, I saw it. Somebody put a comparison. Like, they put Xena looking offended or some shit in that picture, and I was like, okay, this is the proof that it doesn't actually look anything like Xena's costume at all. Wonder Woman doesn't have any shoulder things. It's clearly less armored than Xena's. The skirt's totally different.
I was glad that they put her jet in the picture.
Weird. I hate you. It's a weird leather strap that I assume is the scabbard for her sword, because she has a sword, which is nice. I like sworded Wonder Woman.
Also, her lasso on her hip is definitely silver.
Yeah, it's silvery gray. And that could just be
gold.
It could just be in that picture, though. Like, yeah. It could be a stand-in thing, because they didn't have the prop finished, because that clearly a promotional picture. It's not a still from the movie. It could be that they made it out of something silvery gray, and they're just going to edit it gold. There was something suggested to me was that it's silver until she touches it, and it turns gold. Like magic.
Magic.
When she uses it.
That makes sense. Or
maybe they just don't care and are going to make it silvery gray.
Could it's be not either one, because who knows?
It's not that big a deal, I think, that it's silver instead of gray. I mean, you showed me the picture, I didn't even notice until you pointed it out. I was like, oh yeah, look at that. It is. It isn't gold. Anyway, I think the costume looks good. I like it.
Her ship looks good, too.
I hate you. We're gonna move on to The Hobbit. The Hobbitses.
The Hobbitses.
Hobbit trailer for the Battle of the Five Armies. It's out there. It equals awesome.
There's another army of dwarves in this movie. I'm so excited.
I'm sure the link that I have in the notes will make it to the show notes on the site.
Yeah, it will.
And everybody should watch it. And because it's awesome. And that movie is due out December 17th of this year, which is weird. I looked it up. It's like a Wednesday.
That's weird.
It's December 17th in the States. UK gets it a few days before us, and New Zealand, gets it earlier than them, obviously. I assume that's where the actual premiere, the very first premiere, is probably in New Zealand.
Down with this.
There's a fan contest, actually. I don't remember the website to, I don't know, or how you enter. There's a fan contest to, win a trip to New Zealand and to the premiere and some other stuff, like travel around New Zealand and stuff, which would be cool. And then you get to go to the premiere with Peter Jackson. He and like 75 other people.
What?
Yeah. The website was weird and long, but I believe you can look it up on Facebook as well. They had a Facebook thing. Or you could just Google The Hobbit Fan Contest or something, and that'll bring you what you need, I'm sure.
Probably.
So, December 17th, it's awesome. It's going to be awesome. Yay, hobbits and dwarves.
Specifically dwarves.
Actually, I meant to bring up, you know the king of the asshole elves?
Yeah.
We're going to be seeing him tomorrow when we see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really? Lee Pace. Why?
Lee Pace is Ronan the Accuser.
Interesting.
Guardians of the Galaxy, same actor. He also did something else that didn't look like either of those two characters either. Characters are very different. Look very different. And actually, in a couple of points, we talk about another guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. But that's a couple of points. The next point is that the first trailer for the first proper trailer for Mockingjay Part 1 has hit the interwebs. And it's pretty cool. It's a couple minutes. It's barely more than a teaser trailer, really. And that movie is due out November 20th. And I watched it, I think, twice today because, I don't know, I think it was 30 seconds, 45 seconds in. I was like, wait a minute, is that Natalie Dormer? I didn't bother looking it up on IMDb. But I'm pretty sure Marjorie Tyrell is in this movie because it looks a lot like her.
And for those of you who don't know, that's Cleavage Lady.
They're all Cleavage Lady on that show.
But she specifically.
How is she's not that much more cleavagey than Cersei, really. Or yeah. The Red Lady. Well, sometimes the Red Lady is covered up because she wears, cloaks all the time.
Yeah, she's always got, that, super, super deep V dress. No,
that's less true. That's less true in the last season because of things that happened early on in the season that I can't actually comment on because that would be a spoiler. So, I think it's Natalie Dormer, and that trailer looks pretty cool, and it'll be in the notes. November 20th is when Mockingjay Part 1 comes out. I assume I'll be going to see it at some point during November or December.
I'll end up seeing it. I think it's cool.
Also a trailer for something that came out during San Diego Comic-Con that I had not heard of.
Diego.
Hate you. Every time I say that. Every time I say the name San Diego, you do that, don't you?
No.
No? Just most of them?
Just most of them.
That's good.
I have restraint.
Could have fooled me.
My producer is shaking her head as well.
So Robert Kirkman, I guess, has this movie producing company whose name I have completely forgotten. And they are releasing this movie called Air. I hadn't heard anything about this before it came out in Comic-Con. But this teaser looks super cool and super intense. It stars Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead and Boondock Saints. And here, Andrew, you try for the second name. Go for it. Oh, this is the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Good luck.
Dim. Hans.
I would probably say it's probably probably something along the lines of Jimon Hwangsu, but I could be completely murdering that.
Couldn't have murdered it any more than mine.
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was in Gladiator, and he was in Blood Diamond. Him I recognize immediately. He's the guy in the trailer when Star-Lord goes, "I'm Star-Lord," whatever. He's the one who goes, "Who?"
Oh.
The best line of, "Star-Lord, man."
Star-Lord, man.
Best line in the trailers. So yeah, they're starring this. This movie, I mean, it's a teaser, so it doesn't tell you a lot, and there wasn't really a synopsis, a great synopsis out there. But clearly, some sort of terrible world-ending war happened, and these guys are stuck, or whether living in one of the very possibly the only habitable place left. It's basically a bunker. And, you know, because there's just two of them, and they're sealed inside, they're going a little crazy. So, intensity, and something bad's going to happen.
Interesting.
Also, in, like, flashbacky sort of things, they show who I presume is the president, is supposed to be the president of the United States, doing an announcement, or, like, not an announcement, a press conference. It's Saltai. It's Michael Hogan.
That's awesome.
Two eyes and a mustache.
It's weird to have two eyes.
It is not one-eyed Saltai. It's early. It's first two seasons Saltai. Yeah, it's actually funny because he was on Psych during post BSG for one random episode. He was like a crazy fisherman. I'm pretty sure even then he had an eye patch.
That's amazing.
Because, well, Michael Hogan always has eye patches ever since he's played Saltai. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the link to that trailer will also be in the notes. There was a lot of trailers. Those are the three that I chose to put in the notes because those are the ones I most care about.
Also, speaking of best lines from Guardians, I saw a video with Vin Diesel. It's just like 10 minutes of him reading off the I Am Groot lines in six different languages.
Oh, like, Je suis Groot?
Yeah, like, Je suis Groot, and I don't remember what the rest of them were. I should. He read them like a million times.
That's fantastic.
But he did, like, six different languages for the Guardians movie.
That makes sense. I mean, his lines would be pretty easy to get the same actor to do it, because it's two words that you change every time. It's not like with Star-Lord, you might have to dub somebody over that, because maybe Chris Pratt can't speak Spanish very well. That's his name, right? Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad I got that right.
Star-Lord, man.
Star-Lord, home.
But yeah, it's amazing. He's got like these stilts on. Like getting into character, man. You know, I gotta feel it.
I want to believe there those like action stilts that are bent so that you're allowed to run, that they let you like run and like flip cars and shit.
Yeah, they're those.
I love those. I want a pair of those because they're the best. I bet he just owns. I bet he bought them in. He just owns them.
Yeah, I bet he does too. Because he's Vin Diesel.
Yeah, all that Fast and Furious and Riddick action. He's like, you know what? I should just buy a pair of these because I always need them. And they're super cool.
So Deadpool leaked the test footage?
Yes.
I don't know who leaked the test footage, but it got leaked and it's everywhere. It is. And nowhere at the same time because Fox.
Yeah, Fox.
Fox has been taking it down everywhere. I haven't had a link that has stayed up for more than like half a day.
Yep.
So there won't be a link in the trailer.
For a time, at least, somebody got a GIF on Reddit. It was the car flipping and
with the picture.
The picture through the sunroof.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's so awesome. It is great. It's got. It's so Deadpool. It's CG'd. But it looks pretty good, and it's all voiced over by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
CG
Deadpool makes the most sense, because he loses body parts all the time, and then just regrows them. Like, it's the easiest way to do things for Deadpool.
Even if it didn't, they can CG on top of it, but Whatever, I'm open to anything.
I mean, you know who did that CG?
Yes.
Blur.
That's Blur. It.
They did Halo, what was it, 4? I think, the cinematics?
You don't know? Yeah, and they're actually redoing all of them in the Master theater. Chief Collection.
Yep. And they did the cinematic for Star Wars. You know the one when you reinstalled the game on Saturday and you said, this cinematic is awesome?
Yeah.
Blur. Same company.
You know, which is, like, the best CG, like, I've ever seen, ever.
What, that cinematic?
Yeah.
No, it's super realistic looking, which is surprising.
Like, all of the Star Wars Old Republic cinematics are just mind-blowing. They need to do a movie.
Well, clearly they're trying. With their test footage that's actually somewhat old, from what we understand.
Yeah, it could be, like, 4 years old, or three.
It could be from, like, near when the Wolverine Origins movie came out, when everybody really, really wanted a Deadpool movie. With Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, it's everywhere and nowhere. That gif with him pointing at the thing is going to be dubbed over with different images forever.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, what this is going to spark is a renewed interest in the Deadpool movie. Again. So that's...
I hope. It
can only be good for people who love Deadpool.
And it's 100% confirmed that this is legit. The creator, director dude who was behind it, I guess, said, yeah, this is legit.
Plus, why would Fox bother taking it down if it wasn't legit? They wouldn't.
They're going through a lot of effort.
Exactly. Taking it down... everywhere. Like, not just like YouTube, which it's so easy to get things down from YouTube, it's not even funny.
Yeah, it's like YouTube, Dailymotion, Vimeo.
Anything that touches it just drops.
GIFs, man.
So, they've gone through a lot of effort to stop this from getting out there, so it's clearly they were working on it. They may still have plans for it. Or they may just want to keep it close to the chest because they're Fox and they keep everything close to the chest. They don't want to let anybody have anything.
Fox doesn't like us having nice things.
Yes, so I can only hope that this will actually lead to renewed interest and maybe an actual Deadpool movie.
Yeah, because it's awesome. This trailer is just... it gets it.
It gets it.
It gets it.
Speaking of trailer, our last trailer, I think, maybe...
Mad Max got a trailer.
Yeah, this is our last trailer. I didn't watch the Mad Max trailer. Only you have watched the Mad Max trailer.
It looks cool. I haven't seen the original Mad Maxes, so...
I saw one, well, I saw Pirate most, I think, of one of them. I don't know which. One or two. You know, it was 80s.
Yeah.
Good.
I have no frame of reference to compare that, but it's cool concept, you know, apocalypse and gangs and...
Post-apocalyptica is always fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw somewhere on the internet that they specifically pointed out that things like Mad Max and... I don't remember what the other one was. Mad Max, Mad Max 2, and another movie that wasn't a Mad Max movie.
The Road Warriors or something?
Road Warrior was a Mad Max.
Yeah, it was...
Anyway, it was something else. But it was like, you wouldn't have these, and it said Fallout 3 in New Vegas. And also said Borderlands, which is somewhat true, but less so, without, you know, the other three, Mad Max and that. It's pretty true. You probably wouldn't have Fallout, at the very least, without the popularity of 80s post-apocalyptic movies.
Because
Fallout is directly pulled from those, particularly the first couple.
Yeah.
Because of when they were released. Borderlands I wouldn't have put up there due to its sci-fi bent, and it's not really post-apocalyptic at all. There are games.
But it's got that feel.
I mean, when I played Borderlands 2, I don't feel post-apocalyptic at all. But
it's got that whole crazy...
But yeah, gang. There are lots of crazy gangs out there.
Yeah.
Full of psychos who are so easy to kill, it's great. They're my favorite enemy to fight in Borderlands, because I snipe them when they're running at me. It's beautiful. And they drop.
I gun zerk, and then everything drops.
Except for when you're half asleep and you keep dying.
Yeah.
Having us die because we're no good. We're not very good. And, you know, if an enemy gets close to me, I'm fucked because I'm a sniper. Yeah. Good times. Borderlands half asleep.
All right. Last of Us. Film adaptation.
Last thing in movies. Sam Raimi. Good old Evil Dead, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, Sam.
Yep.
So yes, he at San Diego announced that he, that's a couple of things. One, that he was doing a film adaptation of Last of Us. I don't believe there's any sort of date or anything yet, but
no.
I'm kind of surprised how fast that happened.
But, I'm surprised how slow that happened.
How old is that game? The game is, what, at most a year? Or is it more than that?
At least a year.
Maybe it was released a lot longer than I think ago. A lot longer ago than I think. That's not a good sentence. Anyway, maybe it's older than I remember it being. But Sam Raimi, I might actually watch that, because, like I said, I liked the story of the movie, of the game, but I didn't enjoy the playstyle, so I never finished that game.
Yeah, the playstyle took me forever to get into, but I just had to, because it was so good.
It was a great story, and I like Sam. And that game, I believe it, yeah, that game has those two weird GIFs where they take, like, a thing from a movie, and they put is it Joel? See the character?
Yeah.
Joel? They put him in there instead. So it's like, and apparently this was actually somebody at Naughty Dog who did it. The first time I saw it, I was like, which one of you crazy internet fanboys copied the Antonio Banderas looking at the computer and being all happy GIF and put the Last of Us guy in there? But apparently it was a guy from Naughty Dog, an actual just like higher up at Naughty Dog had it made.
It's smart.
The weirdest thing. So there's looking at the computer, like typing a little bit. I can't describe the GIF because he does too many things that are weird. And the other one that's like Jack Nicholson nodding and creepily smiling as his smile grows and he nods more. Super creepy. And they replaced them with Joel. Weird. But awesome.
Yeah.
So Sam Raimi will lead us into our TV as well, because this was the best news, I think, that I may have heard all weekend.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi has announced there will also be an Evil Dead TV show. Now, it's early in development, so no news about, you know, network or any of that stuff yet. I guess either he doesn't know for sure or he can't announce it, like where it's going to be. But he announced pretty much all I needed to know. Evil Dead TV show, Sam and his brother Ivan writing. They wrote the movies, and Bruce Campbell's going to be in it.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Well, besides that, as long as Ted Raimi also makes an appearance, I'm happy. He makes an appearance in everything.
I would imagine he would.
Everything that Sam does. Much like Bruce Campbell shows up in everything that Sam Raimi does. Because they're, like, best. I looked up Ted Raimi on IMDb today after I was reading this. And you know the like, did you know things like the supposed to be the trivia?
Yeah.
One of the trivia things for Ted Raimi was like, he was babysat by Bruce Campbell, and I was like, well, yeah, duh. His older brother and him were like best bloody friends. Of course he babysat him.
That'd be funny.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Anyway, that's not important. Evil Dead TV show, no date or network, but it's gonna happen, and it's gonna be awesome because it's actually Sam and Ivan and Bruce. Yeah. I didn't realize when I put this in, even though I put in both Wonder Woman and this news, that we're going to be talking about Xena twice. Lucy Lawless from Xena and Spartacus. Nick Blood from Trollied and the Bletchley Circle. And Reed Diamond from Dollhouse and Franklin and Bash have all been cast in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the next season. Excuse me, I'll wake up my mouse. We heard about Lucy Lawless a few weeks ago, but we didn't have a character or anything for her, so yeah. I left it out of the show because it was just, hey, Lucy Lawless is going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We don't know if it's one episode or more than one episode. We don't know the character name. We know nothing. And I was like, well, that's not news, really. Thanks. I was waiting for this news to be actually, you know, news. So Lucy Lawless will be playing a longtime S.H.I.E.L.D. agent named Isabel Hartley. Seems to be a new character that Marvel created specifically for the show. Likely that she'll be more than one episode since she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And, you know, the things that happened in Captain America 2 affected Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are fairly important, I guess, now. Anybody who's still a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent? Nick Blood, who is a British actor, because for those of you who have never heard of either of those two shows I named, both British. I've actually watched The Bletchley Circle. I watched the first season, but I've never heard of Trolley before.
I never heard of either of them.
Bletchley Circle's pretty good. It's BBC. We watched it on Netflix, I think. Anyway, Nick Blood will be playing the mercenary Lance Hunter. In the comics, Lance Hunter is the director of Strike, which is another acronym for, I don't remember what the hell it. There's too many acronyms in the Marvel Universe.
There really is.
Shield, Strike, Sword. I know there's more than that. And those are the only three I can remember. But he's supposedly going to be helping the S.H.I.E.L.D. team out as they're, you know, running around the world trying to save things and save everything after what happened in The Winter Soldier. And Reed Diamond will be playing the villain of the season, who is Daniel Whitehall, also known as Kraken, who is a big-time Hydra agent. Kraken in the comics headed a school that trained orphaned girls like Viper, who was also a big-time badass Hydra agent. So we could be getting, you know, Viper or other big-time badass recognizable Hydra agents. Like, maybe we'll actually get Lady Hydra, which we didn't in the first season.
Or Baron Zemos.
But,
probably not, but...
Probably not on the Baron Zemos. Hey, maybe. Or it might be slightly... It might be, like, the character of Baron Zemos, but he's not, like... He's slightly altered so he can actually fit in with how the world that they've set up works.
Yeah.
Like Vertigo does in Arrow, because he's not a count of some country you've never heard of. He's just a guy with the Vertigo powers. I forgot where I was in this. Yeah, they also, and this was also announced at the panel, they also had released a gag reel for this first season of, that's what they showed, because apparently every panel needs footage at San Diego now, so S.H.I.E.L.D.'s showed a first season gag reel, and it's great. It's worth a watch, so you guys can, I don't have a link to it, because, well, I forgot about it until right now. So you can Google that or YouTube it. It'll be pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Speaking of Arrow, I forgot that was my next point. J.R. Ramirez, who for some odd reason I did not put in what he was in. He was in Power, in Emily something, M.D., in like an episode of 90210, nothing I've ever watched. But most things I've never even heard of. He's been in like 11 things. Never heard of him. But he has been cast as Wildcat in Arrow. Wildcat, in the comics at least, was a boxer. He was actually a JSA, so he's pre-Green Arrow. He's Justice Society instead of Justice League. So he's Golden Age comics. He was like a big-time boxer who got wrongfully accused or something of working with the criminal underground, and so he became Wildcat to clear his own name. He made a masked persona to clear himself, and then just kept it going because, well, he was doing good, I guess. And more importantly than Wildcat, they didn't show who it was, like who the actor was. They didn't show his face, but Ra's al Ghul. or Raish El Ghul, depending on your pronunciation, because I've heard it both ways. Raish El Ghul is going to show up at some point in the scene. He was mentioned a lot in the second season. He was mentioned once or twice in the first season. So, looks like that's going to happen and come to a head. And I like, everybody likes Raish El Ghul.
Especially the Liam Neeson version.
You know what I discovered when looking in this article, I think? The article that I pulled this from? Because they talked about other iterations of Ra's al Ghul. They obviously talked about the Liam Neeson one. They also mentioned the one in Batman Arkham City.
Yeah.
He was voiced by D. Bradley Baker. Do you know who that is? At all? You know that name? Most of his credits go for, like, animals. In Gargoyles, I'm pretty sure he was the gargoyle dog.
Yeah, the pet one.
I know for a fact that in the Avatars, both Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, he was Appa.
Appa.
And he's also the Sky Bison in Legend of Korra. He's Momo. He's Naga. He was also Tarlok in Legend of Korra. But he does a lot of animals. And that's what I know him for, is, you know, as Appa and Momo and Naga. And I was like, so the animal guy was Ra's al Ghul? That's weird. It's weird in my brain because I associated him with doing animal voices.
Yeah.
But D. Bradley Baker, what can I say? All right. I know. I clearly know too much about voice actors since I recognized his name immediately and knew exactly what I knew him from.
Far too much.
At least it's not as bad as Liam O'Brien, whose voice I can pick up in anything, and I never have to look it up. Ever. Anyway, speaking of, I guess, voice actors, we're moving to games.
Oh, segue.
This is very good, because this piece of news, I had forgotten that this game was being developed, because initially they announced it being developed for Android and iPhone, or iOS, and I was like, I'm kind of worried about, you know, a game that's an app, because they're not usually that great. They're good apps, but they're not usually great games.
Exactly.
But now they've also saying that they're developing this for PC or Mac, PC and Mac, so that may make it, you know, push up how good it is in the final developed product. And this news makes me think they're at least trying to do right by the fans. So the full cast of Firefly is lending their voices to the Firefly Online game that's being developed for Android, iOS, PC, and Mac. Half of them, I guess, have already recorded their lines, and other people are scheduled. So they're getting the full cast to voice something in this game. Probably, you know, their characters, I assume, but I don't know how much their characters are going to be in it, because we don't really know much about this. It does not yet have a release date or anything like that, but it does have a little teaser trailer that it's worth watching. It's great. The end little bit's great. There's just one thing near the end that bothers me. Because they do this whole thing, it's like, if I were a captain, I'd do this, and I'd start some fights, and I'd, you know, keep my crew together, and blah, blah, blah. And at the last one, she's like, I would do whatever it takes to stay flying. And I was like, oh, it's not right. It's not stay flying. Keep flying. Like, it's even the website. The funny thing is, the website for the game, keepflying.com. I watched it yesterday when I first found it. I watched it again today when I put it in the notes, and it still bothers me. That he says stay flying. I was like, yeah. I don't know why it bothers me so much. Like, I don't get it. It bothers me disproportionately.
You're just strange.
Yes. I'm too much of a Firefly nerd and fan.
Way too much.
But the teaser's worth watching, so that'll be put in the notes. It's like a minute and a bit long, I think. Also, you should check out keepflying.com. If you're even remotely interested in this game, you can, like, register your username and your email and stuff. And if you register now, without paying any money, so I know there was, you also got something for pre-ordering the game, I think, before, but I don't know if that's even still up there. But if you register at keepflying.com, register on the Cortex, because that's their little turn on their website, their like forums and stuff. It's all on the Cortex, because it's, you know, Firefly. You, when you get your username that you want, and you get a ship. I forget the bloody name of the ship. Kessler or something like that? Something like that. It's a ship specifically designed for this game, designed by the ship designer of Firefly. The guy who designed a lot of the ships on Firefly, including the Serenity. So, it looks, you know, Firefly-esque.
Which is all we could ask for.
Yeah. Firefly-esque is in the world, not in, as in like the ship, the Firefly. It's a totally different looking ship. It's much sleeker. Sleeker. It's a weird word. Anyway, this next news, when I saw it, and I watched a little teaser video for it, I was like, I literally just said, what the f... I did not understand why.
With Transformers, I get it. Because... Oh, sorry. Well, the news.
Angry Birds Transformers?
Yeah. With Transformers, I can understand, because they've always been, like, the merchandising everything people.
Well, no, that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, actually.
Well, that too. They're kind of the same vein.
They pretty much are, yeah.
This one I always remember is like the low point of the Star Wars history. This was like when I gave up hope.
When Angry Birds Star Wars?
Yeah, when Angry Birds Star Wars was the big news, I was like, man, Star Wars is done. And I'm
officially died.
All sad inside and whatnot. I mean, months later, they were like, hey, episode 7 sold to Disney, blah, blah, blah. And it's all exciting. But, like, the Clone Wars was over. The only good news we had was Angry Birds Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Angry Birds. Never have been.
Also, the Angry Birds Star Wars is good, because I do like Angry Birds, and Angry Birds Star Wars adds a bunch of cool, interesting stuff. But still, it was like the lowest point of Star Wars history.
Really, it was a lower point than Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
Wow.
To me, anyway.
That's all I have to say about that. Angry Birds Transformers. What the hell? What is going on?
Right.
Literally in the show notes here, I put Angry Birds Transformers. Guys, WTF. That was my whole notes about that. I haven't read this thing you put in the notes yet, since you put it in after the show started. So you should go and start about this so I can read it.
So SDCC didn't really have a whole lot of gaming news. It had a whole lot of new gaming footage, but nothing new, really. This is the only thing I could find. At Comic-Con, they revealed some of the more story with Shadow of Mordor. You get to see Sauron's background and eventual fall. And you also learn that the Wraith aiding you is Celebrimbor.
Celebrimbor, yep. Celebrimbor.
The Forger of the Rings. And there's also scenes with Gollum, who plays kind of a sidekick in the game.
So, Sauron's background, as in things you would know if you read the history textbook?
Yeah, probably.
Have you read
the Forger of the Rings specifically.
I'm not sure if that's actually covered in that. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I read the history textbook.
I think it's eventually covered in it.
Probably.
It has been a long time since I read the history textbook, too.
I'm not, because I've also only read the Silmarillion once. There was no desire to read it a second time. Like, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, I've read them multiple times. Cimmerillion, nope. Once was good.
I read it once, and then I kind of skimmed through it for most of the Dark Lord parts. Like how Morgoth built his army and teamed up with Shelob and...
We got locked out of the universe because they couldn't kill him.
Well, yeah, that's later, but
pretty much the only part I remember clearly.
Like, apparently, he comes back too.
Really?
Eventually, he comes back and causes some stuff, and then that's like the end of the world.
Ragnarok.
I don't know what that's in, but I just saw it on a wiki once. There's a painting to go along with it.
Of course there is. I bet there's like three broken stars somewhere or something like that. Because everything comes down to those bloody stones all the time.
Yeah.
Whose name
that's like the most interesting game news.
Yep. No, I'm looking forward to Assassin's Creed Metal Earth.
I am too, and I'm going to buy it now that there's that opening.
Comes out before whatever else that was that got pushed back.
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age. Right. See, I've never played a Dragon Age game. I own Origins now, since the Steam sale, but I haven't played it yet. I was playing Assassin's Creed 4, and then I got way into SWTOR, so I have no other gaming time due to work. And social things. I mean, who needs social things, right?
I agree. They're way overrated.
Yeah, D&D and Game Night and this and other D&D. Forget it. Just spend all my time playing MMOs. Feel that stereotype. Anyway, let's move on to a few comics news. Couple of big things from IDW. One, IDW is going to release in October Edward Scissorhands number one. Yep. An ongoing series about Edward Scissorhands. Not like a reprinting of the movie in comic book form, like which there is from, I don't remember who's doing it, but like Escape from New York, somebody's doing in a comic, but I'm pretty sure it's just like the movie comicized. This is cool. Untold Edward Scissorhands stories. Yeah, coming out in October from IDW. And that was strange, but intriguing to me. I was like, that could be good. You get some real creepy ass going on in Edward Scissorhands books. And IDW and Boom Studios are making the weirdest cross comic that I think I've ever heard of. Way weirder than like Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. It is Star Trek and Planet of the Apes.
Oh, man.
I did not write down the release date because either it didn't have one or I'm an idiot and just forgot it. I'm guessing I'm an idiot and just forgot it. But basically, it's like an alternate universe where, you know, the original cast, or the cast of the original series, the cast of characters, and the original the characters from the original Planet of the Apes movie all exist concurrently. It's not like one of them crosses over to another universe. This is literally the universe they both exist in.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. That's why this is maybe the weirdest crossover thing I've ever heard. Because it's not like a usual crossover. You get usually somebody crosses the universe, like Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. The Ninja Turtles cross the universe. But this is literally, they've been in the whole time.
So like the Enterprise leaves for their exploration and then come back, and then there's apes.
Not really sure. To be entirely honest, because they didn't get in fully into what the story is. Besides that, it's an alternate universe where they all exist together.
It's weird.
Not peacefully, though, clearly. I mean,
this is damn dirty apes.
I'm looking for that story now, for that release date. but it might be a few pages back. There's the next thing. There's a Firefly news. Daredevil news. Well, not really news. Game of the Tour, talked about that. Mad Max trailer. Yeah. I hate having to dig through pages and pages to find something that I probably already bypassed somewhere. Oh yeah. I thought we had some gameplay video from the Legend of Korra game. But it's not really. It's like people commenting on some gameplay video that they saw of the Legend of Korra game. I'm like, oh, that is not what your headline says at all. Like, you're lying to me. Which I gotta say, I'm glad they have gameplay video already, because that means they're decently far along enough to have released gameplay video, right? So that means that all the crap going down with Nickelodeon and Korra probably won't have that game be canceled. So I would be not happy if that game got canceled.
Yeah.
Like what happened to What happened to there was a Highlander game that was supposed to come out a couple years ago, and it got canceled somewhat into its development cycle, and I was highly upset because I was really looking forward to it because I love Highlander, and we need more Highlander stuff. Where is that? I can't. Oh, there it is. I was about to give up looking for this stupid Star Trek Planet of the Apes story, but I found it. So let's see. With the Klingons secretly backing a renegade guerrilla general in a coup for control of Ape City, Captain Kirk finds himself in the uncomfortable position of having to help out Dr. Zaius's orangutans.
What?
Yep. Maybe it didn't have a release date on it. It has to be somewhere. No, it doesn't have a release date on this story. That's weird. Maybe whoever wrote this article forgot to put it in. Maybe it's not my fault. Maybe it's their fault. I blame them. Not my fault. I can't find a release date.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because I don't want to look myself.
But it'll be totally cool. Because, well, it's Star Trek original cast and Planet of the Apes original cast. Man. Weird.
Yep.
Alright, last two things, both in the Marvel house. S.H.I.E.L.D. number one is coming in December, and that is having the characters from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show in the Marvel 616 universe. And so, which is interesting, since they've always kept the cinematic universe and the 616 universe apart. They've never really tied them in together before. Yeah. Directly, so I'm not sure if this is going to be a direct tie-in to the show to try and make the cinematic universe 616, or if they're just like, hey, these are the 616 version characters of the team. Either way, it's going to be cool. It's going to have Coulson in it, and Ming-Na's character. I can never remember her bloody character name. She's a badass and awesome. And it looks like on the cover of the first one, it looks like it's got Skye back there. I could give or take Skye, but whatever. She's important in the show. Whatever.
I still have to catch up in the show.
Important thing, Coulson and Ming-Na's character, because they're great. It's going to be basically a series of one-shots. Like, it's going to be, each story is contained in a single issue. So if you get number one, and then you can't get back to the comic book store until number five, you didn't really miss anything. You're not going to be confused when you start reading number five, because it's all a contained story. That's what they say, at least. We'll see how long that actually lasts. And lastly, in the Marvel news, almost kind of touched on it earlier, because we were talking about, Disney owning Star Wars. Since Disney owns Lucasfilm and Marvel, it's only a matter of time before Marvel got the rights to Star Wars comics again. That is happening. They're, of course, either they're their ownership of the rights ran out, or they, you know, negotiated them back. They no longer have the rights to keep doing Star Wars comics. It's going back to Marvel. And they already have 3 comics announced. One is just titled Star Wars. I mean, in, we don't really have the story of them, I don't believe, but you can guess kind of what they're going to be about by the time. Star Wars is the tape, general Star Wars kind of story. All the characters are going to be there. Stuff's going to happen. Coming in January 2015. Coming in February 2015 is Darth Vader number one.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting his own continuing series from Marvel, which is interesting, because clearly that's going to be, you know, in between trilogies. Well, more than likely, since we pretty much see everything we need to see with Darth Vader in 4, 5, and 6, and Darth Vader doesn't really exist in 1, 2, and 3. So it's going to presumably fill out... between trilogy canon, because I almost guarantee you now that they're owned by now this is all owned by Disney, this is canon stuff. I can nearly guarantee you.
Or Legends. We'll specify.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything here.
But they will specify.
They'll specify in the comics, but it'll probably be, I think, that it'll probably be canon.
Yeah, they got a bunch of canon building to do.
Yeah, exactly. They've got to rebuild all this canon, so why not start now with comics? And last, and kind of most interestingly, is Princess Leia number 1 of 5, starting in March. So it's a really badass cover too, number one. Doesn't look like Carrie Fisher at all, but it's a badass cover. So Princess Leia is getting her own miniseries starting in March. In 2015.
Soon, Deadpool will be popping up into Star Wars.
Okay, now it does say Princess Leia is post-Battle of Yavin, so between 4 and 5. Let's see. Okay, then it doesn't actually say when the other ones are. Not that I can see. This is a big paragraph. No, it doesn't say when the other ones are. But Princess Leia is post-Battle of Yavin, Hoth. That's how 5 opens, right? 5 opens with Hoth.
Yep.
Good. I'm glad. I don't know why I questioned that, but I questioned my own memory. Post-Yavin, pre-Hoth. Miniseries. Princess Leia. Looking badass. With a pilot helmet under her arm, so I guess she can fly a ship.
What? She can do things.
I mean, I guess. I mean, she's carrying a pilot helmet, a rebel pilot helmet, and she's presumably just shot off a blaster.
Maybe she's just holding it.
She's got a draw on her finger on the trigger.
She's just holding them for, like, Luke or something.
It kind of looks like the barrel on this blaster is super weird looking. It kind of looks like it's a silencer. Which doesn't make any sense with a laser. But nonetheless, the cover's badass. So, January, February, March, you're getting number ones for Marvel-released Star Wars comics.
Soon there'll be a Boba Fett series.
Hopefully, we will get the Boba Fett-Deadpool team-up that we all need.
Yeah, we all need.
'Cause
I've got the shirt already.
That would be the baddest of ass. That's all we've got for the show this week. I think we've been rambling on long enough. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Dud75, D-U-D-7-5.
And I am at Dup3, D-U-P-3.
You can also find the show at Weekly News, G-W-E-E-K-L-Y-N-E-W-S. You can email any feedback you might have at weeklynews.com. I meant to put that in. We got a feedback, did we not? Yes, we got a feedback that told us how our comment thing was broken, and that it was confirmed in the first season of Korra that Katara has outlived Sokka, so Sokka is dead. And I think she might have said something else. I don't recall.
Better friends being dead and stuff.
Yes, no, I meant Rachel. I meant in our.
I meant the actual comment. The
actual feedback comment. Besides the soccer and comment section, comment thingy is broken. Which, did you fix that yet, by the way?
Yo.
Yo?
No.
Oh, I heard yo. Which is yes and no. You should fix that.
I should. Internet.
Oh, web development. It's like it's what I do.
I know, it's the worst.
Anyway, you look up the email and see if there is something else, and I'll continue with our closing. You can find our website at weeklynews.com. You can find all the shows and the show notes posted there. You can subscribe via RSS. You can listen directly from the website. You can find a link to iTunes, where we would love it if you gave us a review and a rating. You can also view the blog posts and the review and the cosplay corners. Is there a new one up tomorrow, Andrew?
Maybe.
Maybe. It's a nice solid maybe, guys. Might be a new one tomorrow. Solid. And we also are on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklynews. It wasn't as long as I expected to be. I think we're getting better. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Until next time, I've been Andrew.
I know you're probably thinking I'm lying, but I do actually think we have to talk about that and make it something that we'll both say, because I'm not saying it. It's not, not like it. But it's workable. We can work that into something.
Yeah.
Anyway, next week.